We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm Wyatt Thompson, joined by Stan Weber. We're getting you set for week two, and it should be quite a week as Kansas State, coming off a win against South Dakota 27-24, will play host to number 18 Mississippi State. The Bulldogs won their season opener in Starkville last Saturday, beating Stephen F. Austin 63-6. This Saturday's game at 11 a.m. ESPN television. Of course, we'll have it on the K-State Sports Network starting at 9 o'clock with the pregame show. Well, Stan, let's start with the opener last week against South Dakota. We mentioned it after the game. It isn't what everybody wanted. I think that's obvious. And yet, K-State found a way in that fourth quarter to get a victory, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, winning and losing is what it's about. You want to get better, and you want to get players an opportunity to learn how to play at this level who haven't been out on the field as starters. You want to get the backup some opportunity. All those things are true. But at the end of the day, you got to get the win because the difference is night and day. With only 12 games, every game is so valuable. At the end of the season, you're not going to remember what the scores were on certain games. And the best example of that is 2011. K-State fought and clawed and was behind Eastern Kentucky on opening night. But Colin Klein threw a touchdown pass late, and K-State won 10-7, and yet that team ended up with 10 wins. We're not making any predictions right here, but you just got to move on and find a way to win, and that was well done. It's amazing the stretch that K-State has got themselves into. You go back and link the 2017 season, Wyatt, with the 2018 season, and do you realize that that's the third straight game where K-State has been behind by 10 points or more in the ball game? In the second half, even, and came back and won. 12 points behind at halftime, 24-12 against South Dakota. They had won the game against Iowa State, 12 points down in the fourth quarter, halftime down by 10 against UCLA, and here they make a comeback in the fourth quarter down 24-12. It didn't look good in the third quarter, but the fact they kept their composure and kept playing was impressive. They relied on special teams, which is a K-State way of doing things, find any spark anywhere. Isaiah Zuber and that group gave an 85-yard touchdown return, but that didn't put them ahead. They still had to do some things. And at the end of the day, if I would have just told you, if you didn't hear about the K-State game, the K-State had as many penalties as Bill Snyder's had since 1999, double-digit penalties, 129 yards worth of penalties, and turned the ball over four times without getting a turnover, negative four in a turnover margin, and they won the game, you'd go, wow, I guess that's kind of good. But you don't want to have those mistakes, and you can't if you're going to beat a team like Mississippi State.
Well, let's talk about some of the positives. up and above and beyond the fact that you win the ball game and find a way. I guess it's obvious that you start with special teams, and that was a real question going into the year. The highlights, certainly, Blake Lynch in the first half going 4 for 4 on the entirety of the night from field goal range. And then the obvious is the 85-yard punt return by Isaiah Zuber. That turned the game in Kansas State's favor.
Yeah, I don't think we can overlook what Blake Lynch and that field goal unit did, Wyatt. K-State didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter, and yet they were still in the ball game. What would it have been like if one or two of those field goals would have been missed? It's a demoralizing blow when you miss a field goal, and the scoreboard would not look the same as well. K-State needed every one of those points. They end up winning by 3, 27-24, and as South Dakota's coach mentioned after the ball game, they were 1 of 3 on field goals, and K-State was 4 of 4. He looked at that as an obvious difference. And we go into the season last week talking about the football team and wondering how the kicking game's going to go. How will Blake Lynch function? His early field goals weren't easy because they're at a sharp angle on the right hash, having to shoot it through. Even though they're not long-range field goals, with the angles in college football, not an easy way to get started. Then he backed up all the way to 44 yards and made one as well. Every one of those points was so critical for K-State. So you just can't say enough about Blake Lynch making 4 field goals in the first half alone. 4 field goals in a game is the second most in K-State history. Only once before have they had more field goals. So that was a nice job there. And then obviously the punt return game. You could look earlier when Duke Shelley took one back 95 yards. Just one small little block cost them that touchdown. So, you know, you're not going to get a plus from Bill Snyder and Sean Snyder on bringing that one back. But it showed that the K-State unit was ready to roll and did some good things. And then they followed it up with Zuber's 85-yard touchdown, and it just energized the whole crowd. From that point forward, the crowd was in the game. K-State was pushing hard. South Dakota wasn't an easy team to beat. We said it all week long, starting with the podcast here last week, Wyatt saying, you've got to beat South Dakota. They're not going to beat themselves. And K-State still had to push through. The crowd helped them, and they somehow came away with the win. Zuber making a great catch in the back of the end zone, an 85-yard return. Blake Lynch hitting 4 field goals. Those two guys get a lot of stars by their names when reviewing the South Dakota win.
I don't think there's any question that one of the other real factors and positives of the game, Stan, was K-State's defense in the second half. As you look back on it, what was different? It looked to me like K-State got a little bit more pressure, not a ton, but a little bit more on Austin Simmons in that second half. That certainly helped a lot, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They did bring a little more pressure and getting closer to the quarterback, causing him to be uncomfortable, leaning back on his back foot more. And his completion percentage dropped off. He hit barely above 50% in the game, but he was much hotter at the beginning of the ball game. I just think they really kept their discipline and made game-changing plays, Wyatt, and the fact that football now is often about when you get it to the opponent's 40-yard line or right in that area, you're just on the edge of being able to go for fourth down, getting into field goal range versus having to punt. And it makes a big difference. There are 3 points at stake at that point and even 7 points at stake as they get a little bit closer. And if you look at the third quarter, South Dakota had their chances. They were inside K-State territory. They missed a field goal that hit the crossbar. I mean, they were within, 2 feet of making the field goal. So K-State's defense had a lot of work with the turnovers and the things that were going on and even some drives by South Dakota. They just continued to fight and not allow the Coyotes to bust through that scoring range and get close enough to kick field goals. Because if they would have added a couple of field goals, K-State may not have come back. So there was no momentum at that point, and K-State's defense wasn't dominating. But they were continuing to concentrate, make just enough plays in what is, I think, the new critical area of football, pro and college football. It's when a team crosses the 50, who wins that battle out by the 35 to 45 yard line. And K-State did just enough and was solid enough to keep South Dakota off the board the whole third quarter when there was no momentum. K-State didn't have things rolling at that point, but the defense kept their head up, and that's so important. To believe you can still make a play and still win even when your back's to the wall, it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude, and K-State's defense really showed it.
I guess we should, in all all fairness, talk a little bit about some of the downside things. And you mentioned the turnovers. You mentioned also the just the number of penalties. It was pretty staggering to see K-State have 13 penalties. Is it possible to clean that up in a week? How does Bill Snyder go about that, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's much more likely K-State gets back to the norm. I think it's an aberration, not a first game aberration. It could be just, you know, the fifth game of the season. Things just did not go K-State's way. A couple of the calls, the pass interference ones, very, very close. You know, you look at them, and I'm not sure that they should have been called. So those are a couple of big ones. A block in the back on a punt return takes the score off the board and puts you in a backed-up situation. Obviously, that's a giant differential. A penalty that maybe people don't talk about very much is, you realize K-State, with 1:03 left, Wyatt, had to delay a game when they're only a yard or less away from having a first down. Mm-hmm. And if Skylar Thompson was able to quarterback sneak, which is the play they called, you know, if he would have quarterback sneaked, K-State could have knelt down right there. And even with two timeouts, South Dakota wouldn't have been able to do anything about it. K-State would have ran out the clock. But with the 5-yard penalty, it set up a sequence where the Wildcats got the first down on the pass play, but Dalton Schoen had to go out of bounds, stopping the clock, which is almost like a mini timeout, which created the strategy after that, which ended up being a fumble. And hold on to your hats, they were kicking a 50-yard field goal at the end of the ballgame to try to tie. So those little things can be cleaned up very easily. You don't need to have a delay of game right there, a little block in the back. The interference calls, like I said, shouldn't even have been a factor. And then Alex Barnes fumbling the football 3 times, losing 2. Coach Snyder says he hadn't seen him fumble hardly ever in practice or a game. So I think it'll go back to the norm. I think there's going to have to be a super concentration level. It doesn't just happen. But I think K-State will be on edge. There'll be a new adrenaline flow. Wyatt, when you walk out on the field and you see the 18th-ranked Mississippi State Bulldogs from the SEC over there, you can't help your concentration level going up. And I think playing Mississippi State can kind of help you get back to what normal K-State football is. And that's not turning it over and obviously not creating penalties to hurt yourself.
Well, let's talk about this week. It's Harley Day. It's Stripe Out Day at 11 a.m. ESPN National Television. K-State Sports Network radio coverage begins at 9. It's really an interesting team when you start to break down Mississippi State. A lot of people see that they have a new coach in Joe Moorhead, who for the last couple of years has been the offensive coordinator for James Franklin, who we know at Penn State. This is a guy who is very much known as a very good offensive mind. And when you have him come into this scenario with an experienced quarterback like Nick Fitzgerald and 9 returning starters on the offensive side, you can understand why they're excited for their start and this season. No question about that.
Yeah, and they're going at it at a whole different way. Moorhead comes in with Saquon Barkley as his running back last year at Penn State. And he loves getting running backs out into patterns. He loves throwing the ball. He likes throwing the ball downfield. And these are things that Dan Mullen did not do at Mississippi State. Now, Dan Mullen built this program to levels that they really hadn't seen before, ranked 1 in the country for the first time in their history about 5 years ago, 8 straight bowl games, just a very good football team, competed with Alabama last year and led for most of the game. I mean, a very good team, but they did it with a style that looked a lot like K-State's style with Colin Klein. Nick Fitzgerald looks like Colin Klein, wears 7, and is such a lethal runner. I mean, a big, tall kid. He can throw well enough, but, I mean, they run the ball, and then throw off of it. Well, that's out the window because Dan Mullen's no longer there. He's at Florida. And Moorhead's like, no, we're going to throw. On the first play of the game last week against Stephen F. Austin, they swing the ball out to the running back, and he goes 53 yards for a touchdown. Then they throw the ball deep as well. So he wants to pass the football a lot more. There's a lot more balance in the offense, and they're still sorting it out. And one of the reasons they're sorting it out wide is Nick Fitzgerald was suspended for the opening game against Stephen F. Austin. He hurt his leg and broke his ankle very early in the Egg Bowl in the Mississippi game. So he hardly played in the Mississippi game to end the season, didn't play in the bowl game against Louisville, and didn't play last week. So it's going to be interesting to see what Nick Fitzgerald looks like. It's been a while since you've seen him. Instead, they've been able to use a freshman quarterback who's just, by the way, Keaton Thompson has just been lighting it up, playing great. But what will Nick Fitzgerald bring? Will he have any rust? How well will he throw the ball? All intriguing things for the whole nation to watch. I mean, the whole nation wants to see how good Mississippi State is at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And K-State fans obviously are going to be interested to see. They've just got so many weapons. It's unbelievable. An offensive line that's returning every guy, basically. They had a left tackle went to the pros, but he was hurt at the end of the year, so he didn't play the last four games. So they got almost everybody back across the board. Very, very good running backs. 1-2 punch, 1,000-yard running back. Didn't even start in the last game. Defense is very good. Mississippi State has all kinds of weapons, but they are with a new group of coaches, and they have a new strategy. So a lot of tape that you might have watched about Mississippi State or games that fans may have seen last year really erase that, because they're playing with a whole different style this year.
No doubt. We'll talk about Mississippi State's defense here in just a moment. You're listening to the Wildcat Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices. They always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. K-State getting set to play host to 18th-ranked Mississippi State on Saturday. Our K-State Sports Network coverage begins at 9 a.m. Well, you go back to last week, I think a lot of fans, if you polled K-State fans, a lot of them would say the most disappointing thing in their mind was the play of the offensive line. Well, if that is so, what does that mean this week going up against Mississippi State's defensive line that includes a preseason All-American and a first-team All-SEC defensive end in Montez Sweat? That's a pretty tall order and a tough challenge.
Yeah, they've got those guys up front. Montez Sweat had 2 sacks in the last game, a pass-rushing menace, 10.5 last year to lead the SEC. He's very athletic and will cause a lot of problems on the edge. Jeffrey Simmons, kind of the classic SEC difference maker on the inside at defensive tackle, will be hard to block. And then they may have the best safety combination in the country. That's at least what the scouts are saying early about them. Jonathan Abram is a big-time hitter at the strong safety position, and Mark McLaurin is also very good at free safety. And they just bring the heat right now, Wyatt. It's amazing to watch Mississippi State blitz so often. So there's going to be all kinds of stress on the offensive line, but there's going to be opportunity. And we'll see how K-State sorts this out. K-State's very good in angles, and if you can somehow get the right angles and let the Mississippi State player take the energy and speed that they're showing to get back to the backfield and just shove them to the side. You don't have to knock them on their back. Just shove them to the side and create a gap. There's a first wave of Mississippi State defenders that come by. If you can step through that, you have some open area. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the thing. They had 17 tackles for losses. They just overwhelmed Stephen F. Austin last week. And they attacked. And it could be a tough, tough day. The physicality, the aggressiveness, the different looks they give you, all are going to be super challenges for K-State. But the question for K-State is, will they be able to create and execute with strategy and good blocking a few gaps to slip through a quarterback or a running back through and hit Mississippi State with some big plays and force them to change their strategy? The offensive line is going to have to move some people. And, you know, my message really is, if every offensive lineman for the Wildcats could move their defender just 2 more inches than he did last week against South Dakota, just 2 more inches wide, it's not that far. Just get your base, get your adrenaline flow, get your execution, and make your block such that you move a guy just 2 inches further, how big will the holes be? They'll be plenty big for K-State. You got to hand it to South Dakota. They did a very good job up front. They weren't little guys. They really played well. Unsung heroes, really, for South Dakota, as they didn't let K-State run up and down the field. You can say it's K-State blocking, or you might give some credit to the Coyotes defense as well. But just a couple more inches each of execution, Wyatt, will make a big difference. But it's going to be a heck of a challenge. Just Mississippi State defense is super. I mean, that's just, they don't have a lot of weaknesses that you might say their linebackers aren't as experienced as the rest of the team. But I'm telling you what, a front wall that's got NFL players, safeties that may be the best combination in the country. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good place to start for them. And oh, by the way, one of their cornerbacks who last year was just okay is coming on, is still thought of as one of the 150 best draft prospects in the NFL. That supposedly is a growing area. That's what Mississippi State's working with. Quite a squad coming in.
No doubt. And a big, big challenge. A couple of thoughts about the Big 12 to wrap up our weekly Wildcat podcast. We talked a week ago, Stan, about maybe the most intriguing game away from K-State was that Texas game at Maryland. There was a delay. Maryland won the game 34-29. I know you've had a chance to review it a little bit. What were your thoughts on the Texas loss at Maryland?
Well, we talked about it right here on the podcast last week that that was the game I thought the Big 12 was going to have the biggest challenge with. I didn't think Texas Tech would probably go out and beat Mississippi, so not a big surprise there. But Texas had a new start. They had revenge from being embarrassed at home last year, and Tom Herman was in his second year. Sam Ellinger, the quarterback, in his second year. You know, I thought Texas would be upset, have enough focus that maybe they could get over the hump. But I wasn't calling it. We were sitting here last week, and I was saying that's the game that worries me, that you could see a win by Maryland, and it did happen. So at the end of the day, when we look back at this Big 12 in week one, Wyatt, I would just say go back and look at your notes of the 2017 season and what you thought of the teams and just replace them early in 2018. I know Baker Mayfield's gone, but did you see Oklahoma roll through a good FAU team? I mean, wow, Oklahoma looked like a national championship level team, so mark them down. You look at Oklahoma State, they don't have Mason Rudolph anymore, but go watch him play. They still look like a Mike Gundy team, just playing the way they do. Texas ends up being a disappointment and losing their first game. Doesn't mean they're not going to be scary and all of that. Texas Tech, a lot of offense, but not a lot of defense. It just looks like to me that what we thought about 2017 looks to be true. That's the early indication after week one of 2018 that the teams look pretty close to what they did last year, even though there was a great amount of turnover in some players that left.
Yeah, that impressive victory by Oklahoma, I have to be honest, I was as impressed defensively as I was offensively. And I think we all knew that offensively, Lincoln Riley's club was going to be really good. Other than the game, I guess a final thought here, with K-State and Mississippi State, the other game this week that sticks out for me for a couple of reasons is the Iowa State at Iowa game. Iowa State lost their game a week ago, not meaning they lost on the field, but lost the game to weather. That is an interesting scenario, and now they play their state rival in Iowa City. Going to be hard not to keep a little bit of an eye on that one, don't you think?
No, it's a big-time game, Wyatt. You know, when you're looking at Power 5 conferences, in-state rivalry, and last year's game was one for the ages. Watching the final 5 minutes of that game had you on the edge of your seat, and you really didn't know who was going to win. Iowa came out with a win at home. It was crushing to Iowa State. And think how good Iowa State ended up being, beating Oklahoma and TCU. Can you imagine if they would have won against Iowa as well? Whoa. But they didn't. Iowa found a way. Now Iowa's at home. It's very intriguing because Iowa State got to warm up and play for just a little bit, but they still have to have a lot of first-game jitters. What are they going to be this year? And now they're going against Iowa. It should be close, very competitive. It would be a giant win because if Iowa State was able to do it, it's double or nothing. They don't get a count that Northern Iowa win. If they end up 5-6, Wyatt, they're not going to be bowl eligible. And trying to scramble to find a 12th game is going to be very hard. So a game like this could swing the whole season for Iowa State. Obviously, they want to beat their rival, but because they didn't get a chance to beat Northern Iowa and sit there at 1-0, now they're really playing double or nothing with them. It'll be an intriguing game. And the other one that I think secondarily is a very intriguing game is the Kansas Jayhawks on the road against Central Michigan, because Central Michigan's not a dominant football team. And Kansas, after losing their first game, has no confidence, even with the Jayhawk faithful. But they have a chance. They have a chance to end the longest road losing streak in the history of college football. Not a lot of people are looking at it, but if Kansas would have won, there would have been some excitement. Like, hey, maybe they can be 2-0 right now. Maybe they can end that streak. They're a slight underdog, but there's no reason why Kansas can't clean their play up a little bit and compete with that Central Michigan team. So I'm looking forward to that game as well. Will Kansas again lose another road game to a MAC team like they did against Ohio last week, or will the streak end? A lot at stake for KU football, because a lot of people have written them off. It's too early to say the season's over for KU, but it'll be another step in a negative direction if they can't go on the road and win that game.
Well, we're all set for Kansas State and Mississippi State this weekend at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Again, our K-State Sports Network coverage will begin at 9 a.m. We'll kick just after 11 a.m. It's Stripeout Day. Don't forget that. Also, Harley Day. Our Wildcat Weekly podcast presented, as always, by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats!
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.